To Juno Afternoon, I'm Cheryl Snyder. Erin Walker-Tolis is joining us now. Erin is the Executive Director of Catholic Community Services. Erin, welcome.
Thank you so much.
So for our listeners who may not be familiar with the work of Catholic Community Services, can you describe what your organization does?
Sure thing. We are a regional, faith-based nonprofit providing social services and healthcare. And so most people know sort of the programs we do, but sometimes they don't realize it's us. We have Southeast Senior Services here in Juneau and across Southeast Alaska, which means we run the Juneau Senior Center. We operate Meals on Wheels here in town, the Bridge Adult Day Center. We do senior counseling and, of course, the Senior and Caregiver Resource Center, which offers case management and caregiver supports. We also have Hospice and Home Care of Juneau here in town. And we operate the Safe Child Advocacy Center, which provides victim advocacy and forensic interviewing and supports for children and families who've experienced abuse from across Southeast. Mm-hmm.
So you really work with people from all stages of life, from earliest days all the way through their final days. And so the populations you work with are often some of the most vulnerable. How have you been able to serve them during COVID?
You know, it's funny because the need increased so much, we try to rise to that challenge and meet those growing needs. So, for instance, I think all of us, of course, were so impacted by social isolation, but seniors really had the worst of it. And we've seen a lot of seniors lose their health, decompensate, poor nutrition, poor exercise. And so we really stepped up. We've increased our Meals on Wheels deliveries in Juneau. We've more than doubled them. We started the Friends of Seniors volunteer program so that we could match people up so seniors can get help around the house, grocery shopping, shoveling snow, making lunch together, reading books to one another. We really upped our health promotion. We moved our Tai Chi classes for seniors to be virtual. And so we've expanded the number of people who can access our Tai Chi class. And we've got a bunch of loaner iPads now. And we are loaning them out to seniors and teaching them how to use them so they can Zoom with family members and participate in our Tai Chi classes. And also, we have volunteers to sit with folks who need to know how to do a virtual doctor's appointment with our loaner iPads or with their own iPad that they're not necessarily confident with. And of course, we've seen so many more patients for our home health program than ever before. And honestly, it has to do with deteriorating health for seniors that have been isolated, less active, less engaged. And so we're seeing a lot of new patients in our home health program. So we've really tried to grow what we're doing to meet community need and trying to encourage those supports so that people can maintain their health and be independent as a senior. When it comes to kids, children who've experienced abuse are one of the most vulnerable and impacted groups as well. We know nationally and from the Alaska Children's Trust and Office of Children's Services that domestic violence and child abuse have risen dramatically under the pressures of this time of isolation. But the reports of harm have gone down by 40% in Alaska and across the nation because kids aren't leaving the house and spending time with coaches and friends and neighbors and teachers. And so we've started a public education campaign called Southeast for Safe Kids to try to educate the public to start looking out, noticing the signs, report the signs. And we've had some results. We have seen an increase in referrals to our Safe Child Advocacy Center based on reports of harm reported by members of the public.
And can you speak to some of the signs that a member of the public might look for if they're concerned about a child?
Absolutely. Definitely change in behavior. A kid that used to be outgoing now is maybe timid or seems frightened or scared. Kids who aren't willing to speak about what's going on, withdrawal, and of course the physical signs as well, bruises, kids who flinch away from physical contact, and of course looking at the relationships the child has and who are they spending their time with. Do they have someone to talk to? Honestly, a lot of it has to do with creating a safe space for a kid to disclose and letting a kid know that no matter what they say, you're going to believe them and listen to them and take them seriously and not write them off, and that you are a safe person to talk to.
And so if an adult in the community recognizes a child that may need some help and they reach out to you, what happens then? What's the process for getting this child to safety?
You know, we really encourage folks to make reports of harm to Office of Children's Services. You can do that anonymously as well. And it's better to report if you suspect something, it's better to report than it is to keep it to yourself. And so what happens, our program, is we get referrals from Office of Children's Services and from law enforcement. So we help do that evaluation and then support the family through that. But we do know that if you people are uncertain of whether or not they should report, they can call our Safe Child Advocacy Center and say, okay, does this sound like something I should report? And we can help that if someone's not sure, they're hesitant. They can call us and we can tell you the signs again.
Okay, and of course, this is a core part of the work that you do, but the month of April is Child Abuse Prevention Month. Are there specific
Yes.
things that your organization is doing this month to really shine the spotlight on this issue?
Yes, actually, we're participating in a statewide, actually, I think it's national, April 2nd, which is Friday, is Go Blue. Blue is the color of child abuse prevention. And so please try to raise awareness, wear blue, let people know why you're wearing blue. We're going to have an information booth at Foodland on Friday, April 16th. We'll have swag bags so people can take our pinwheel buttons and information on child abuse prevention and recognizing the signs. We got posters going out across town right now that the Jack's putting up for us. And we're doing a lot this month on social media. We have the Safe Child Advocacy Center, both on Facebook and Instagram. And so we're trying to get the message out and sort of raise that awareness along with a lot of other agencies that help children.
Okay, great. You on your website, you have some statistics about the rates of child maltreatment in the country, that Alaska has some of the highest rates. What do you see as some of the things needing to happen to reverse that trend?
Oh, gosh. I think awareness and treatment is a big deal. Getting kids intervention, recognition, and the help they need to heal, and get parents the help they need with parenting, to learn the positive ways to help discipline a child that help kids grow. Anger management's an important one. And also just awareness throughout the community. Rock Juno's done a great job trying to promote changing that culture of respect and compassion and awareness. And I know in the schools, they're teaching kids, you know, what is appropriate, what is not, and being able to talk about these things openly. It shouldn't be a secret. The more we open up and talk about them and educate children and adults about how to work with one another when you're frustrated, what is okay and not, the better it will be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it really is the work of all of us in the community, so many touch points to try to make the situation better. There's so much here, Erin, and I know that we could do an entire program or many programs focused on this, and in fact, I think we should. is there anything specific before we close our conversation for today that you want to emphasize with our community?
Well, you know, I'd just like to say that I'm really grateful for the opportunity that we've had to serve and help people. And I think that Juno has really pulled together as a community and done a lot to support one another, the homeless population, folks impacted by COVID. Of course, Catholic Community Service has administered the housing assistance and individual assistance programs for the city. And I think that Juno's done a really good job during this time. And I'm encouraged that if we keep going this direction, we can make things even better.
Okay, Erin Walker-Tolis of Catholic Community Services, thank you so much for all the work you do in the community, and thank you for your time today.
My pleasure.